Hallelujah. Hallelujah. As we sang that song and I saw Kim walk in and yes, God is real.
Come on now.
Yeah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. In my soul.
Jesus.
Yes, hallelujah.
Yes, God is.
Yes, He is.
Real.
Hallelujah.
So good to
glory.
Thank you. Come in.
Thank you.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Smile on her face.
Thank you, God.
She had it on her face even when she was in the hospital.
Thank you, God.
Because God is real.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. That's what I needed this morning.
Jesus, thank you, God.
Thank you for it. As I come before you this morning, giving all honor and praise to Almighty God, who's certainly the head of my life, me and mine. Recognize my pulpit associates, Minister Riley and Reverend McMillan, the musician, my beautiful, beautiful wife, and my lovely, lovely church family. It's an honor, a privilege, and it's always an awesome, awesome, awesome responsibility to profess the Word of God. Let us go to God in prayer. Take now your servant, Lord, as I come submitting, as I come as humble as I know how,
yes,
Lord.
Yes, Father.
As I come empty, Lord, knowing that I have no righteousness of my own. Empty, Lord. But expecting to be filled to overflow.
Yes, yes, God.
Take possession right now of this ragged vessel, Lord God. And speak a word to someone. Someone needs to hear from thee. Not from me, but someone needs to hear from thee, Lord God. Use me. And do with me what you wish. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord, for someone is listening. Speak, Lord, for someone is waiting. Speak, Lord, for someone needs a word. Take control right now, Lord. From the pulpit to the pew, let your Holy Ghost power rule and rest in this place. Have your way.
Yes.
Have your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, God.
Just slow me down a little bit. Just did my heart good when I did see Kim come in. I had on my list today a crystal call to do a Kim check. So I got my answer. If you would, turn with me to your Bibles to the book of Luke, Gospel according to St. Luke. Hopefully I won't keep you here long. I promise not to keep you here as long as Paul did, so. No one will have to worry about falling from the rafters. The book of Luke, chapter 9. And I'm going to read the 51st verse, and then I'm going to skip down to 57 and I'll read through about 62, end of the chapter. So if you have that, Luke 51, it reads thusly. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. When you skip down to verse 57, it says, as they were going along the road, a man said to him, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Somewhere to lay my head.
Somewhere.
To another he said, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. But he said to him, leave the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God. Another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. And Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God.
All right.
Hallelujah. Following the theme that I've been preaching on for the previous 3 weeks, and I took a break and we both associates did preach. But 3 weeks prior to that, we've been speaking on the topic of following the Lord. And following the Lord, you put a colon there, and we were talking about a season for sensing the power of God. Following the Lord, a season of sensing the power of God. And this morning, as I said, my intent is to be brief, but I can't promise you that. But I want to give you a question this morning that for you to ponder. And this is it's a setup question. The question is, are you truly ready to follow the Lord? Are you truly ready to follow the Lord? You know, when we talked in previous Sundays, talked about following the Lord, we established some things that I want to reiterate. And you know, we posed the question of why should we follow the Lord? And what we establish is that you need to follow the Lord because there's power in that name. If you expect to have any power on this journey, you need to follow the Lord. And we were in Sunday school this morning, and in the Sunday school when we were talking, even when I was studying, that was a part in the Sunday school lesson that caught my attention. It spoke about us as humans, that how we're desperately in a search for answers.
All right.
Trying to find answers to life's problems. Always looking. But the Bible has already revealed to us the eternal answer in the person that is worthy,
yes,
above
worthy.
All others.
He's worthy.
Jesus, the Lamb of God.
Yes, sir.
He's worthy. And it says that if we can just learn to follow him, that he's got it already in control. He already knows what we need. So why follow the Lord? Because you're going to need power. At some point on this journey, when you're going through the mundane things of daily life, when you're just in and out and relationships, when things get tough and start to aggravate you, you're going to need power.
All right. Yes, sir.
There's power in the name of Jesus. The songwriter says to break any chain, whatever is going on in your life, to break any chain, it's power in the name of Jesus. So why do I want to follow Jesus? I want some of what he got. I want some power.
Come on, man.
Tired of letting the world knock me down and then try to step on my throat if I ain't careful. But when it knocks me down, I can spring right back up because I got power.
Yes, sir. Uh-huh. Mm. Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Then we establish, how do you follow the Lord? He's not, I've been trying, but I just don't know how to follow the Lord. I'm trying. I go to church. I go to Bible study, but I'm still having trouble knowing how to follow the Lord. And how do I follow the Lord? And we establish you certainly have to spend some time in this, in the Bible. You have to get your instructions from the Bible.
Yeah.
And you have to read your Bible daily.
Yes.
But then the most important thing you got to do is you got to use your senses.
Mm-hmm. Right, come on now.
That's what we've been mm-hmm. talking about, your senses. And we established the word that we established was do not. Perception. Mm-hmm. It says this is how we perceive and how we receive the power.
Yes.
Of Almighty God. It's one thing to have head knowledge, and I know the Word of God, but do I have heart knowledge? Do I have the power of God? Do I know how to receive God's power and then to utilize? Good gracious. See, some people have it, they don't even know how to use it. They sitting on a power keg, but don't know how to use the power of God. Keeping it all to themselves.
Right.
Following the Lord. We said that many people have died with Jesus, but have not risen with power.
All right, man.
That's why you got all these dead Christians walking around.
Yes, come on. Come on.
Self-righteous. Dead, not having risen. They just died with Christ. I got it right. I spoke a word. I confessed in Jesus Christ, and now I'm saved. But I'm dead.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
You see, Romans. There's too many people. They take that scripture from Romans when Paul says, "I beseech you, therefore, that you present your bodies." Mm. And people think that means he's talking about dying. And he said, yeah, you die to yourself, but Jesus asked for a living sacrifice. He said, you know, the hands I got on earth are yours. I need somebody that I can use. I need somebody who will let my spirit flow through. Somebody that's a conduit, not somebody who's trying to be seen, somebody who wants everybody to hear what they say, but somebody who can be a conduit that the Holy Ghost can run right through you and get to somebody else. Hallelujah. Rise with power, the power of the Holy Ghost. When you just let God have his way in your life.
Yes, sir.
You know, if we could get to the point where we would stop, if we could just renounce all of this, the natural resources of what I got, where I've been, my education and my money and the stuff I got, and how dignified I am. If we could get rid of all of our natural foolishness and y'all know what I'm talking about.
Yes, sir. Come on now.
And just trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all you got. Stop trying to figure it out. Stop being so smart when those problems overpower you, and they will. Mm-hmm. When stuff you can't do anything with. That's if you can just learn to let it go and let God.
Yes.
Sounds easier than it is. Uh-huh. Let him have his way.
Mm-hmm.
When we talked about the senses, and we established that the senses are means of perception that is detected by a specific sensory organ. And sometimes senses are perceived with each other. We talked about that the last time I preached, how they perceive with each other. And last time we talked about the eye and hand. You know how you do eye and hand? Those two go together. If you're an athlete, that you see that eye and hand. They go together, those two senses. And then the last time we talked about taste and see. Taste and see that God is
good.
Taste and
see.
See, I'm going to just stay there a minute, because if you can get there, you know, when you start talking about tasting and seeing the goodness of God, and it's just not one of those things that you can think about it and figure out, but it's when you're laying in your hospital bed or when you're going through something and you can taste and see that God, it gets in your bones, it gets on the inside of you. You can taste and see that God is good, and right in the midst of your storm, you feel like shouting.
Come on
now. Oh, taste and see that God is good.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Two senses working together. See, this morning we wanna look at these two senses, two other senses that work together. The senses of seeing,
all right,
and hearing. If you look at this ninth chapter of Luke, it speaks about interacting with Jesus.
All right.
I'm going to spend some time there, because when you interact with Jesus, I'm not talking about getting on your knees and saying or reciting the Lord's Prayer. I'm not talking about reciting. I'm talking about interacting with the Lord. Transacting business, if you will. Transacting, and the only thing Jesus wants from you, the only thing that you got that's worth anything, is your ragged self.
All right. All right. Talk.
And until you're ready to present that old ragged itself, you got nothing to bargain with. The Lord said, that's all I want. When you realize that you got nothing,
absolutely.
Come on,
then we can start to transact business with the Lord.
Yes.
You see, here in the scripture, we see three kinds of people. When you start trying to follow the Lord, you see three kinds of people in this scripture. It's one that jumps out in front of everybody, proclaims that, I'll follow you, Lord.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Wherever you go.
Always one in the crowd. Jump out before he weigh the cost to find out what it means to follow the Lord. But you always got one who will jump out front, I'll follow you, Lord. Then you got one who has to be told what to do. Always one of them in the crowd, too. And then our favorite, the one who always say, I'll do it, but. Luke 9:57 says, as they were going along the road, a man said to him, the proclaimer, the one who jumps out front, he says, I will follow you. wherever you go.
Yeah.
And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Well, when you decide to follow the Lord, you need to realize that it's going to require some sacrifices. Mm-hmm. When you decide to follow the Lord, you got to realize that you got to give full trust. You got to transact that business with the Lord that says, when I'm going to follow you, I got to be trusting in you. I got to make sure that I trust you, that I'm not concerned with where I go, but as long as I'm holding on.
Come on now. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
You got to get rid of you and all that you feel like you've got to do. You got to put full dependency in the Lord. Before you say, I will follow you wherever you go. To another man in verse 59, he says to the other man, follow me. But he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Let me tell you something about that. She's got too many people say, well, the Lord is mighty hard. Won't let the man go and bury his father. That seems so hard to understand. But we're not talking about going to actually physically bury his father. You have to dig into the scriptures and look at what the scripture is talking about. What the man was asking, he said, I got an old parent. And that's noble too. Don't get me wrong. That's noble too. But he said, I got a father back home that's old and he needs me.
Jesus.
He said, I'll follow you as soon as my daddy dies. You see, you have to wait. Daddy might outlive him.
Mm-hmm. Say so.
See, so what he said is, it's another reason why, noble reasons. And that's what gets in our way on this journey, is that we try to replace something that's good.
Mm-hmm.
See, instead of going for the best,
yes,
we replace it with something good. My intentions were good.
Yes.
Good ain't good enough for the Lord.
Come on now. It's all right.
Good. God says, I want your best.
Best.
He said, let the dead
bury
the dead. Don't you worry about your father. I got him in your hand, in my hand, just like I got you in my hand. Don't you worry about him. Hallelujah. But he said, leave the dead to bury on dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God.
Yes.
Another said, I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home. Just want to tell everybody
goodbye.
But Jesus said to him, no one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. Let me tell you a little bit about that too. See, when you're plowing, I'm not a farmer, but they tell me that when you plow, if you're trying to plow a straight line, you look off in the distance and you see something, you pick up a point way off in the distance and you go toward that point way off in the distance. Because if you look back,
come on now,
you go off track. So he said, once you put your hand, once you start following the Lord, keep your eye on him way off in the distance. Keep your eye on him, and the world can't trip you up. But if you ever take your eye off Jesus.
Come on, man.
Yeah. All right. You think it won't? You think, and you don't have to take it off long. You just take off for a minute. Even people will get in there and start stirring stuff up and talking, and little things will start hitting you and aggravating you. If you take your eye off Jesus. Hallelujah. There's something about seeing and hearing the person that you're with when you start to communicate from your heart with the Lord. When you start interacting with Jesus, not like we do now, texting and
just talk,
Facebooking, tweeting, Instagramming.
Come on, man.
Pinterest. Yeah, anybody Pinterest? Pinterest.
It's coming.
Jeez, another
one. It's out there. No, it ain't another one. It's been out.
Oh, wow.
You don't know about it because you probably just leaped in. Is that right? But when you interact with Jesus, when you get a one-on-one with Jesus, when you start communicating with him late at night, when you're all by yourself, and you start transacting business with the Lord. Mm-hmm. When you're going through something, don't go through the motions. Don't get on your knees and right away start asking the Lord what I want and what I need you to do and all of that. But get on your knees and start transacting business with the Lord. Find him first. Say, Lord, I need to see you face to face. I need for you to come in earshot so I can hear you. I need to communicate with you. Anybody been to the coast that I'm talking about now?
Yes, sir.
Have
a little talk.
Have a little talk. See, because just going through the motions don't get you there. You have to really get to a position where you can interact with the Lord. And the Lord asked you first. He said, "For first of all, you got to take off all of that facade."
Yes, sir. I see right through it.
Stop trying to tell me who you are. I know who you are. I know where you've been. And I know what you're thinking right now. And once we get all of that foolishness out of the way,
everything.
Now we can interact with the Lord. When have you ever done it? When you strip naked before the Lord?
Naked before him,
That's when he can deal with you. That's when he allow you, first of all, to see yourself, and you realize that I'm powerless without you, Lord. Mm-hmm. He said, now we can talk. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. The power to perceive. Mm-hmm. The power to receive when you go down at night and you're weak and you're going through something. But when you get up off your knees, not the way you went down, but you get up off your knees with power and a renewed strength.
Yes, sir.
Because if you get up the same way you went down, you didn't transact much business. Is that right?
Bad transaction. Huh?
You went through the motions. You had the paperwork. But you didn't have your heart in it.
Bad transaction.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. But when you interact with the Lord, it's when you transmit your feelings and he transmits his grace. Your feelings, your trouble, all of the hard times that you're going through, your illness, your pain, and your relationship that's having problems, when you transact, God says that's what you got to give, is all of your problems and all of your woes and yes, all of your yes, concerns. He said, yes, that's all you got. But if you will just give me all of your mess.
Yes, sir. I know how to handle it. Yes, sir.
Good, good.
Tell me.
That's all right. Oh, that's all right.
If you just give me all of your mess,
yes,
then I'll give you all of my grace. Mm. Don't sound like a bad bill to me.
Sounds good. Good transaction.
When you transact business with the Lord, when you get close enough to the Lord that you can transact with Him. Hallelujah.
Oh, God, thank you.
When you remember the formula we had for dunamiception?
Dunamiception.
When you put your life,
yes, sir.
When it's rightly divided by the word of God, then you raise it to the power, of God. Mm-hmm. Huh? How many people want power?
Oh, Jesus.
Anybody want power?
Holy you gotta have power. Some power.
You gotta have power. Mm-hmm. See, when you understand this power,
yes.
John 14:9 says it like this, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But you see me.
Yes.
Because I live, you can also, live. When you really start to see the Lord and realize that He's real. Remember what the song said this morning?
Yes,
yes, God is real. Because I can feel Him.
Yes.
Deep down inside. I can't speak for you, but I can feel Him on the inside.
Down in my soul.
Not all the time. I wish I could do it all the time. Some say if you felt it all the time, you couldn't stand it. But when I do feel it,
hallelujah, God. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Holy Ghost power.
Yes, yes.
When you understand.
Yes.
The power, when you understand the power source. 1 Corinthians 1:18 says it like this. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness.
Foolishness.
But unto us which are saved, it is the power.
The power.
Of God. Feel the power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My notes say, it's one thing to have power, but a totally different thing knowing how to use it.
That's right.
Somebody in the back shaking their head.
Yes, that's the truth.
If you don't know the truth of that, wait till you go through something.
Because
I got news for you. See, if you have not been through something, and you're not going through something, you're going to go through something.
That's right. That's right. It's all right now.
That's the way life is.
Yes.
Hallelujah. But when you're going through, and you know, when you're going through, it's too late to try to get the power.
Come on. Make sure you got it.
Come on now.
You better get it now so that when you go through something,
yes,
you can
sir.
Call on the Lord and say, I can go through anything.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Are you ready to follow the Lord?
Yes.
Wherever He may lead you, are you ready? You see, Jesus, he appealed to this man's heart and he told him to detach yourself from whatever might be holding you back.
Yes.
Let it go and let God have His way.
Mm-hmm.
We got to be willing to part with anything that might stand in the way of doing God's will. That means people. That means things. That loved one that's so close to you, but keep veering you off track. You got to let them go till you can get enough power to deal with them.
Hallelujah.
Jesus' instructions were simple. Nothing should hinder us from following the Lord.
Come on, man.
So before you say, I'll follow you.
Come on now.
Count the cost.
Count up the cost. Count it up.
And when you count it,
yes,
choose freely to follow,
yes,
the Lord.
Yes.
And then be determined to see Jesus.
Yes, sir.
It's a song I used to sing. I'm determined to see Jesus.
See Jesus.
And I know that He will welcome me. I'm determined. I don't know what I'm gonna have to go through. I don't know how I'm gonna have to go through it, but I'm determined to see Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Cause He's already prepared a place for me. And I'm determined,
yes,
to be,
sir,
with Him.
Yes, sir. And I know that
you.
He will welcome me.
I know.
Yes, sir. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He promised it.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, God.
And as I prepare to close,
thank you, God.
You see, if we look back on what we have freely left behind, whether it's some kind of distraction or attachment or any kind of sinful habit, if we look back, we're going to lose track of where we're trying to go.
All right.
That's right.
Let me tell you something. Because see, when you're going,
yeah,
and you get off track and you start making a bad row, you know what happens? The next row you make will be just like the one.
I'll be crooked. Yes, sir. Hallelujah.
Come on now.
So you have to be careful when I start following the Lord. I don't want to get no one else off of track. So I need to keep my eye
on
Jesus.
Say something.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Are you ready to follow the Lord? Are you ready to follow the Lord?
Yes. Thank you, God.
Let me tell you what you get for it. I'm going to close with a scripture. Matthew 19:29 says, and everyone that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or land, for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold.
Hundredfold.
And shall inherit,
yes,
everlasting life.
Thank you, Jesus.
Come on, man.
And the first shall be last.
And the last first.
And the last shall be first.
I want my inheritance.
So is there anything holding you back,
Jesus,
from pursuing the Lord? Are you ready to follow the Lord? Are you ready to follow the Lord? No matter where He may take you, are you ready? Don't lie to me. Are you ready? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.